We will not be held responsible for any hearing impairments or damage caused to you from excessive exposure to this sound.
He is mad. He is crazy. Some say he never had any marbles at birth. Or maybe he's onto something. It's the Queery Cast with Larry Queery Rye. It's not fearless, just real talk. And now, here's your host.
Hi, hello and hey, welcome to this week's episode of the Queery Cast. The name is Larry and it's such a pleasure being with you for yet another episode in which we talk about all things crazy. Well, not all crazy things, not everything has to be crazy, but I guess some of things kind of swing the pendulum, if you want to call it that, as a goal, and gently undulate with my voice. I'm not super updated, so I can't really do that. Coming up in this week's episode, I'm going to talk about that Zimbabwe's open up sports, you know, in the country. And I was going to talk about the performance of the cricket team. You cannot talk about sports this week without talking about that crazy shit that happened over there. And then finally, in the final part, you know the story about Quavo when he sent people to repossess stuff from his ex? I asked the question, is it okay to repossess your stuff after a breakup? But anyway, just to give you some of the news for this week, restaurants last week were allowed to reopen in Zimbabwe for sit-ins. So remember, they were open first of all, just for people to be able to do takeaways. That's not to say that there were no people breaking the rules, you know. And that's another thing I think that's actually been created by this pandemic, that people are now just hanging out with people they like. So people are not intermingling as much as they used to before, where you just go to a random place and meet some strangers. Now people go to a certain place in a certain neighborhood in which nobody else is allowed. And yeah, and people have a jaw. And they, I mean, even after the sit-ins were better, this was before the sit-ins were allowed. I mean, I'm not a snitch, so I'm not going to snitch on anyone. So even before that, there were places in which only people from those kind of neighborhoods or had connections within those establishments could go to. And now what's happened is that with the sit-ins allowed, obviously now the sit-ins will have a DJ. And if they've got a DJ, obviously kind of gets a little bit clubby. And yeah, I'm not suggesting anything, because remember last year, as part of all the activity that was happening, bars were never actually allowed to open, but umjolo happened. Yeah. So whatever. Make of that what you will. Congratulations to Kim Mashapaize, who proposed to his girlfriend, Kimberly Natasha. Oh no, Kimberly Peters. What's her first name? Panache, yes. Panache Kimberly Peters. She is a presenter at Nash TV. Now, Kim Mashapaize is the manager for Ja Praiser, and it was on his birthday weekend he had proposed to her. The video is out there on the internet, and so you can check it out. So congratulations to him. I wish them a happy life. Not so great is in out in Tanzania, where John Magufuli, the president, passed away. The government there said that it was because of condition, you know, heart conditions and so forth. Again, make of that what you will. And then also, what else happened in the news? Zimbabwe gave a general amnesty to people in the country who are in prison, as long as they don't fall under certain crime acts like sex crimes and murder and fraud and so forth. If they'd served at least a third of their sentence, they're able to get an amnesty. Last year, about 1,800 people were released under the amnesty. So yeah, so the amnesty is happening. And then finally, did you hear about this? The United Arab Emirates is pulling out approved two new visas for everyone in the world. The first one is a remote work visa, which allows you to go and stay as self-sponsored. Self-sponsored means you pay for your own stay and so forth. And you're able to go and stay in the United Arab Emirates for a year while doing remote work. And your company does not have to come from the United Arab Emirates. So essentially working out of Dubai. And what it does, of course, I think the advantage is you've got access to the rest of the world, one flight away. And also, with the tech innovation that is in that part of the world, who knows what else you can do? And of course, they benefit from the fact that they get people, make Dubai an attractive living destination. It's a bit hot, but you know, some people sacrifice that. And the second visa is a multiple entry tourism visa that is for 5 years. Now, this visa allows you to go in and out of the United Arab Emirates without needing to get a visa every time you go through. And you can go there for up to 90 days and renew for another 90 days. So you can actually stay in Dubai for 6 months. A bit expensive, but I'm not sure why I'd be there for 6 months, just chilling out, self-sponsored and so forth, unless, I don't know. It's just, it is what it is. I asked a friend earlier on, oh, if they would go there. They were like, oh, what opportunities exist there? I don't know. Sometimes you just got to jump on a plane and figure it out.
Bringing you conversation.
So if you haven't heard, Zimbabwe has just opened up for sporting activity to take place. That is all sorts of sporting activities. They used to have the minimum risk ones. So the minimum risk ones were, for example, golf, darts, cricket, and so forth. They're the ones that opened, first of all, and Zimbabwe cricket already had women's cricket being played. Even, and in men's cricket, the Logan Cup has started. And speaking of cricket, I mean, the T20 guys make you want to punch their faces. So they're out in the United Arab Emirates, where they lost 3-0 in the T20 series against Afghanistan. And you're sitting there and you're like, okay, the coach says, you know, we didn't have enough time to switch from different formats, and therefore that's the reason why. And you're sitting there, you're like, yeah, I get you, but nah, I don't. Because look, I think there is a big problem in Zimbabwe when it comes to T20 cricket. We just don't play enough of it at domestic or international level. So you look at the Afghanistan batters that were hitting that ball long and hard. And you know, just like smacking it out of the park. And the only person was doing that for Zimbabwe was Ryan Burl. Now, against like 8 guys from Afghanistan who can do that, the chances of winning a match are low, because even with their batting, you can see that the guys are almost scared of going the aerial route when batting. They're scared of hitting the ball so it goes over. So it's such a huge problem. It was all very disappointing that the young players that went in, Milton Shumba, to an extent, Wesley Madevere, because he's now not a newbie anymore. But, you know, the other side of it all is that maybe it's just the dip in form isn't going to learn how to deal with coming out of a rut, of a bad experience and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's just... Then there's the mature players. Some guys have been playing in their 20th, 30th match and playing so timidly. I understand that guys did not get to play competitive cricket, and Afghanistan were playing cricket throughout this whole time. I get it. You know, you won't get anyone who has more sympathy for the guys than that. So remember that they were going to have a T20 tournament starting in early January, and that did not happen because there was a lockdown, so they were not able to play cricket until a couple of weeks later when they were allowed to train for the Afghanistan tour. Meanwhile, Afghanistan are playing all over the world and getting match fitness and that sort of thing. And Zimbabwe's first experience, competitive experience of the year, they get to play against Afghanistan in a test. They won that in 2 days. Go goody. Then they lose the second one, taking it to 5 days. And they can see the mistakes that are there is just because guys are not playing. But on the T20 format, as much as they're saying that it's difficult for people to change formats, seriously, guys, you've got to do better. You've got to hit that ball. It's there to be hit. This gently stroking it like it's a baby is so weird. It's just like, why are you even doing that? Just, you know, it's just one of those things that ends up making me angry. Despite the tone of my voice, where I'm kind of like trying to be chill and everything about it, I was just kind of like, yeah, no, this is not how we do things. But let's go back to, you know, the fact that sport is opening up and talking about high-risk sports like football and so forth. So it's easy to say, hey, great, guys are coming back to play football and that sort of thing. And I, and they've no bigger sympathizer than me. Okay, I'm beginning to sound like Donald Trump. Nobody understands the football community more than me. No, they'll all be bigger sympathizers, of course, in real terms. But they have my sympathy because they haven't been able to play football for years now, since 2019. And there's been no league that's being played. But being allowed to open up without a plan around how it works, beyond, oh, we'll just test people and play in a bubble or whatever the case may be, or play behind closed doors, it doesn't make sense. It just won't work. Because if you're looking at the Premier League, for example, in the United Kingdom, they still make money from TV gate takings. That's number one. Also, even though fans are not in the stadium, fans are kind of there because you get to watch every single match. Nowadays, they don't even show two matches playing at the same time. I know certainly when lockdown's a lot harder, you'd find that you'd have one match being shown at a time so people could watch as many matches as they could. On normal times, lunchtime kickoffs or whatever would have like, I mean, on, a, you know, 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday, what are like 4 or 5 matches simultaneously being played. But you don't see much of that at the moment. So if you don't have that, where fans can have a bird's eye view into football matches from outside, it's just practice matches essentially. It's punitive because the clubs won't be able to run it, bar the clubs that are, you know, funded by you know, mines and so forth. The rest are just not going to be able to make it. Guys like Highlanders and Dynamos rely greatly and to a large extent on fans coming to watch football matches. So it's just not going to work. Even the little money that is coming in will dissipate. Right now there is no television deal, and I don't know when a television deal of that lucrative a lucrative television deal will come through. So as much as I'm excited about the fact that football is coming back in Zimbabwe because I like our football players to get some action so that they could just become better and also have careers, you've got to ask those questions. How is it going to be paid for? The Zimbabwe Football Association said it can pay for the initial initial testing, but they're looking at $450 testing per team for the rapid antigen test. And every game day, you're looking at every month or something like that. They're looking like $8,100 each or something like that. And you look at, yeah, where are they going to get $8,100? Especially some of these clubs that have just been promoted, and this is their first time in the top flight league. So it is a mess, to be honest. It is a right old mess. And I think they've just got to hope that there's a massive immunization drive and soon they'll be able to open up for fans to come in and watch football matches like the president says he wants to happen. But as it stands, it's testy. I don't know. I just don't know. Maybe one of the new television stations is coming and can come and buy some of the rights. Who knows?
We appreciate your time. Tell your friends and family about us.
Listener discretion is advised.
It's Larry and you're listening to the final segment of the Criticast, and of course, it's the love section. So, first of all, just to give you a behind, it's not called behind the scenes. A backstory to what happened. Quavo, who is part of a group called Migos, was dating a singer or rapper by the name of Saweetie. I only found out about existence a couple of weeks ago, and I Googled and said, oh, okay, that's who she's dating. I don't even know who Quavo was, okay? That's how uncool and overrated I am. So anyway, so they were dating, and so at some point they break up, right? And then he gets repo men. Man, I've been repo women on that. I didn't see the pictures. But he sent repo men to go and repossess the vehicle. And so my question to many people was, okay, is it okay to reclaim a gift that you've given to somebody after you've broken up? And before I weigh in, this is what everybody had to say.
This on did that shit for clout, and then now that it's over, he wants his clout back. That's why I think for me, when it comes to gifting someone, it's more important that the gift be sentimental than that it be valuable in terms of like monetary value, because monetary value can easily be taken away. But if someone gave you something that made you smile a way you've never smiled, you know, that's a completely different experience. Feel?
No, I would never reclaim a present. It was a present and it was given to the person, so it now belongs to them. Why would I want to reclaim it? After all, in English, my memories, you don't even want to remember, so people should just keep what they were given.
I wouldn't reclaim my present after a breakup, because it was a gift. We gave it to each other whilst we were still dating, so what's the point in taking it back? Like, seriously. I think that stunt by Quavo was just lame. It was lame on so many levels, because he was the one at fault anyway, because the girlfriend said he was cheating. So why is he so bitter? He was just supposed to let it go. Like, what is he trying to prove anyway? I don't get it.
Haywa. If it's as big as a car, reclaim it. Don't even hesitate. Reclaim that shit.
Ah, paufeag. Can I just ziamuno wako not to repossess? Because at the end of the day, what if you don't reclaim the present and then she's gonna use that present to ride with some other nigga? So what's the point? There is no point whatsoever to give her the, you know, to make her keep the gift. Take it back. You know, but we are not Zoko. Keep it. She must keep it. Because she's going to come back anyway. But in the day, if you know what I'm going to be, I'm going to do 2 minutes, 5 seconds. Take that shit back. Yeah.
I think that if when you present your partner with a gift, when you give them a gift, and then you break up and you want to take it back, it doesn't work like that. When you give someone a gift, you're giving them, you know. And it's not to say, unless you're giving them on the basis to say, yeah, for as long as you're my girlfriend, you can have this gift, then go. But if you're just giving them a gift, say, as a token of appreciation or as a sign that you love them, let them have it, even after the breakup, as painful or as expensive as that gift might have been, you know, just let them have it. It's a gift. You can't do take back season on a gift.
Bringing you conversation.
Available on all platforms.
Man. I don't really know. I think it also goes on the quality of the breakup. If the breakup was amicable, You're likely to let a lot of things go. And I mean, one of the key things that was mentioned by somebody's expense, but expense is not really a thing, really. I think it can be if it's in the case of a major investment. So I guess it's around the same thing that you would argue when it comes to, people who are breaking up from a marriage, because there's been tangible assets that have been created and tangible wealth that's been created. So therefore I can understand what a man is going to go and get his Bentley back. Also, like, if he hasn't fully paid for it, would he be willing to keep making payments for his ex-girlfriend to be using that vehicle? Yeah, you know, is it a reasonable request? Because, I mean, look, while you're in love and it's working out, people just gift each other things. And you know, dudes will spend their rent on a date if they feel like they really dig a chick. So I'm not surprised that Quavo is going to go out and get a Bentley for his woman. Because you, at no point while you're dating that person, are you thinking we're going to break up. And so therefore, when you say she's driving a Bentley, you're kind of like, I've invested in this partner of mine because I'm living a good life. I want her to also live a good life. But I think what it comes down to is, you don't want her to live a good life off you while you're not with them. The thing is, I understand breakups. Breakups are weird, and I understand when people are petty. There are some breakups I've been petty, and there are breakups other people have been petty. So I don't think it's a rational conversation. I don't think that at most times people are enjoying the breakup or are really at peace at it and peace with it until they go for therapy and that sort of thing, where they have just got to deal with loss and things of that nature. So it's really a difficult situation. Do I think I would like to think that there's some instances that I might be tempted to go and reclaim some of my positions. I don't think that is my natural inclination, but I when you're in the moment, you do some irrational shit. Like when you replay that stuff later in the day, and you're like, man, that was dumb. But when it was happening, you didn't think it was dumb. You thought it was like the coolest thing ever. And I don't know if it's uncool. Like, who makes the rule for how a breakup should happen? I think we all like to think that we'll be the mature one when we leave somebody. We all like to think that we will be able to say, you know, it didn't work out. Thank you and all the best. We'd like to think that we're that person. But, you know, that's the ideal set of circumstances. And yet the reality is we could end up acting a fool. And if you're acting out acting a fool, then you're trying to bring yourself back down to earth. And meanwhile, you know, like you were Freeman, a nigger moment kicks in. And you're like, nah, man, I ain't doing that. Especially, like I said, if there's cheating and all sorts of stuff involved. And I know some people think there's a memory to those things. I think sometimes you get it back and you throw it away. You know, it's not like if you bought her what is a significant investment for somebody who's not that well moneyed? The latest iPhone X and you're using an entry level phone because you don't think phones are important. I don't think you're taking that phone and using it yourself. You're giving it to your little sister or your cousin or something like that. So more often than not, when it's taken back, it's not even a case of it's going to be reused by the person who's taking it back. So I don't think Quavo is necessarily going to be driving that car. I mean, the other side of it was that Quavo could be getting a little petty here in that he could be like, I'm going to show you what life is without me, which is creepy. Okay. I'm going to withdraw everything that was comfortable in your life and see if you could enjoy life without Quavo. That could be his thinking, which kind of goes into a bit narcissistic, goes a bit crazy. And like I said, I think we all have a bit of narcissism and craziness in ourselves. And we like to think that we are fine. We are the most rational person around. Like, we just get it. But in essence, as I said, in the moment when you have to make that decision, you don't always make the right decision, or you don't make the rational decision. That's it for this week's episode of The Critic Cast. And remember, The Critic Cast is published by Three Men on a Boat. You can find out you can subscribe on any platform like iTunes. Do they call it iTunes? Yes, it's on your phone. Laptop is called iTunes. Apple Podcasts is what they call it. Google Podcasts, you can get it there. Spotify. Podchaser, Listen Notes, there's a lot of places. If you want to just go directly to our main host, which is iono.fm, just type criticast.co.zw and you get there and check out all the episodes. Of course, if you subscribe every time there is a new message, or there's a new show, you'll be notified. Other than that, take care of yourself. And oh, just by the way, you can go to get in touch with me on Twitter at Quirirai. Quirirai. And on any other social media platform, just look for Larry Quirirai. That's on Instagram, TikTok. Yeah, I'm there. Facebook. Did I mention Facebook? Yeah. LinkedIn. Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that thing. So yeah, get in touch with me on any different platform. Let's have a conversation. Let's keep going. What would you do? I know you didn't get a chance to put your voice note in here, but would you actually, decide to repossess your stuff? Yeah. So get in touch with me, as I said, on any of these issues. Larry@3-mob.com. I forgot that there's an email address. So, yeah, other than that, stay safe, wash your hands, social distance, and save lives. And the words, as I always say from where I come from, Asivi Siasevenza, take care of yourself. It's been Larry. It's been The Criticast.
Join us again next time when we will be back with more tips, techniques, and cheats to achieve the rewards that you deserve. Thank you so much for your time today. And please, set your podcatcher so that you never, ever miss us. Bye for now, and thanks so much for listening.